Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pinar Industries Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital.
Good morning and very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of Pinar Industries Limited. We are happy to have with us management of Pinar Industries for question and answer session with investment community. The management is represented by Mr. Aditya Rao, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Srikanth Bhakkar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj, Vice President, Corporate Planning, and Mr. K.M. Sunil, Vice President, Investor and Media Relations. Before we start with the question and answer session, we'll have opening comments from the management. Now I hand over call to Mr. Aditya for opening comment. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. To all our stakeholders, on behalf of Pinar Industries, my sincere thanks and appreciation to you for joining today's investor conference call. This will cover the fourth quarter and the fiscal year 2024. I value your participation and thank you for your continued support. Overview: today we will commence with an overview of our performance, which will include insights into our revenue, our PBT, working capital utilization, and our strategic growth initiatives. Post that, Srikanth, our CFO, will provide a comprehensive analysis of our financial outcomes. Following this, we will welcome questions from all of you. During the fourth quarter of fiscal year 2024, Pinar Industries had net sales of 822.8 crores and a PBT of 39.17 crores. This reflects a revenue increase of about 23% and a PBT growth of about 28%, and a cash profit of 44.8 crores. For the fiscal year ending March 2024, Pinar Industries had net sales of 3,130 crores, which was our highest ever, and a PBT of 131.41 crores, which is also our highest ever, and this represented a growth rate of 33.5% in our PBT. So this performance aligns well with our projections. It is based fundamentally on our optimism of continued growth in revenue, profit, and margins. And as we realign our business to focus on higher margin revenue streams where we have low market share and which have large addressable markets, we are quite confident that this positions us well for continued growth in revenue and PBT. Particularly, our pre-engineered building business, our U.S. metal buildings business called Ascent, hydraulics, boilers, and engineering services BUs are all well positioned to grow market share and consequently drive up our revenue and profitability. Let me now move to profitability metrics from a margin point of view. Our PBT margin for the fourth quarter stood at 4.76%. There is a narrative we have provided in the last few quarters that we will continue to see margin expansions, primarily driven by a shift of revenue from lower margin base to a higher margin base, and that is effectively what is playing out. And so we are confident that well over the next few quarters, you will continue to see these margins move up. Over the longer term, of course, our goal is to reach much higher levels of profitability. As I mentioned, this improvement is attributed primarily to our evolving revenue composition. This favors high-margin businesses, and this trend will continue. On a working capital management front, as of March 31st, our working capital days were 76 days, lower than 77 days which we had in the previous quarter. Our goal was to reach 75 days, and we actually ended up somewhere in between 75 and 76 days. Now, efforts are underway to optimize our current assets further, and the sectors we're transitioning away from, unfortunately, it takes time for us to collect that current asset back, and that is leading to an increase in working capital. But in the long term, we believe further consistent improvements are very, very possible. And over the next few quarters, we think 72 days is what we would like to target from a working capital perspective. Let me now move to growth. For the upcoming fiscal year, we have, as I had mentioned last time, there are several critical growth vectors for us. PEB, both in India and in the U.S., will grow on the back of our new Raebareli plant having been commissioned. We're very happy to note that other order books for that plant also have grown substantially, and we are very eager to see that revenue come in over Q1 and Q2. Peak revenue for the capacity that we've installed will come in the second quarter, though there will be revenue in the first quarter as well. In the U.S., CapEx is underway, and our order backlogs have also grown quite well. So we expect to see substantial double-digit growth in revenue and profitability in this financial year from our U.S. business as well. Hydraulics and process equipment also are sitting on higher than ever order books, and engineering services continues to scale with the addition of business development teams in the U.S. and in Europe as well. So expansion in these areas is expected to, again, significantly drive revenue. Notably, each vertical presents a very big, substantial market opportunity for us. And our current market penetration in each of these sectors is quite low. I'm talking low single-digit percentages. So our growing order backlogs in these areas bolster our confidence in that we have a sustainable revenue growth future ahead of us. PEB India, as I mentioned, and we have a press note out as well, is currently at 770 crores, its highest ever. We are at our U.S. BU also is at $44 million, one of the highest among the highest months that we have had from an order booking perspective. And hydraulics and process equipment are also at their peaks. So this will drive growth over the course of this year. This concludes my remarks and overview of our financial performance covering revenue and profitability, our margins, working capital management, and the key growth vectors that we have ahead of us for this year and for the next few years. I now invite Srikanth to further discuss and elaborate on his financial analysis. Thank you.
Thanks, Aditya. Welcome to the shareholders and investors on the fourth and annual financial year 2024 earnings call. The key metrics: revenue has increased by 822.8 crores, up by 23% from 668.4 crores. There has been improvement in our gross margins. EBITDA has reached 10.01%, PBT to 39.2 crores, up by 27.9%. And in terms of percentage, it is at 4.76%. The PAT is at 28.81 crores at 3.5%. We have recorded the highest ever revenue this fiscal year, 3130.57 crores, and highest ever PBT of 131.42 crores. Moving into the details, revenue, with our continued focus to improve the margins and cut down the sales with low margin businesses, which we had PV solar, water EPC, solar MMS, you see the increase in the profitability of the business. Revenue has scaled up, but not in terms of the value, but in terms of metric tons, this has increased substantially. But revenue has been relatively low due to the low raw material prices that we have in our subsidiaries. The diversified engineering revenue for FY24 is at 1,641 crores compared to 1,511 crores, up by 8%. And similarly, for our custom design building solutions, it is up by 5.24%. Moving on further, other income includes the earnings that we have from deposits, income from mutual funds, incentives, exchange fluctuation, and large amount is due to the collection of our old receivables. Salaries has decreased due to one-time increase, in fact, due to one-time bonuses which we had last quarter and one of our subsidiaries. We expect that the salaries to scale relatively at this level or increase slightly from here. We would also like to inform that we are hiring new resources for our growth business at Unit in India and our engineering services. I would like to give a detail on terms of finance cost. When you are growing and investing for growth, you tend to increase the finance cost. And this is what you see in terms of finance cost. Interest cost is high due to the increase in terms of interest rate from last year, same time. Second reason is due to the stuck businesses, which we are cutting down in terms of low margin. The impact in, due to interest rate is 73 basis point, and due to higher working capital, close to 142 crores. And the term loans that we have borrowed for our growth capital. A combination of increase in interest rate, increase in our working capital, and increase in the term loan is the result of the increase in the finance cost. This increase in the finance cost, we are relatively aware, and overall, you hold us accountable in terms of percentage of net sales. This is slightly higher. We expect this to come down by the end of the year. Relatively, there will be slight increase in the next two quarters because of the term loan. Once we do the capitalization, this will add up. But we expect that to bifurcate in between the term loans and working capital. And working capital, we are monitoring, and we are on our path to reduce the interest cost. So this is in line our plan, and there is no high surprise. But as a percentage, these numbers have relatively gone up. Profit in our subsidiaries remains flat for the reasons explained above due to decrease in the raw material prices. Just taking you through the balance sheet numbers. Change in assets, predominantly at CBIP, 199 crores, inventories 42 crores, and debtors 112 crores. Cash and cash equivalent have reduced by 30 crores. Taking you the details of CBIP, this is due to the capitalizations that we are carrying out for our growth businesses in India and US, for our PEV business, for our hydraulics business, and for our process equipment business. Inventories standalone has increased by 57 crores, and debtors have increased by 112 crores. These are in line with the plan with our growth in revenue. Debtors, they are higher because of the stuck debtors that we have in our businesses where we are exiting. Cash and cash equivalents have reduced at our subsidiary by 35.5 crores, and this is due to we are deploying the funds for our growth. Investment in standalone is increased by 63 crores. This is on account of the loan that we have converted into equity at our subsidiaries, and this is a one-time change. Moving to the long-term liabilities, the long-term liabilities increase in borrowing cost by 36.36 crores, and this is for our growth businesses. Increase in trade payables is close to 200 crores. This comprises of increase in LC acceptances, which is close to 100 crores, and other trade payables, 69 crores. Relatively, this is what we have planned, and our target is to reduce the LC acceptances over a period. Other current liabilities, the reduction is due to the advances from the customers at India and as well as the US. Overall, the other equity is increased by 57 crores and subsidiaries 41 crores. Order book of PEB is at 768 crores, relatively increased based on the orders that we have booked. Railway at 120 crores and Ascent at 44 million. While the detailed presentation has been given to the investors, and I leave the questions from the investors now and hand over the call to the moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mahesh Atal from Atal and Association. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congratulations, good numbers. So first, my question is, what is our addressable market coming to railways? Because I see that railways order book is 120 crores. And how much of 3,000 odd crores that we have done last year has come from railways? So first is addressable market for us and the total revenue from railways in the last financial year. This is my first question.
Thank you. The addressable market for the products that we make for the railways, which is primarily coach components and wagon components and subsystems, is about 2,000 crores. Our revenue last year in that vertical was about 250 crores. We expect some growth on that this year. More importantly, I think our addressable market itself has also grown. But railways is not one of the major growth verticals for the company. But as of right now, those are the broad numbers, addressable market and the revenue last year.
Okay, fair enough. And coming to our debt actually in our books, so it's somewhere around 780 crores. So what, as Mr. Srikanth has just communicated that we could expect, because your new capacities have come on stream, I think you'll be needing additional working capital for that. So when he says that we could see some reduction in that by the end of this year, could you please quantify that, how much it could be by the end of the year?
In terms of working capital, you have to compare the working capital as a percentage of the net sales. Our stated goal is that we will be at around 3.5% and we as a percentage of net sales. So we will be at around 3.5% of net sales. Does that answer your question?
No, my question would it's about like once your new capacities have become on stream and you'll be needing huge working capital for that capacity also. So do you really think that this will come down or this might be at the same levels going ahead because the revenues might also go up, right?
So to answer your questions, I'll explain you in two parts, in terms of value and in terms of percentage. In terms of value, the loan will go up and as our revenue also comes in, as a percentage of revenue to the finance cost, the percentage will be at 3.5%. So total finance cost as a percentage of revenue is what I'm trying to explain. But working capital will definitely go up as we increase the revenue.
I think in the narrative we provided, there are some current assets we have right now in businesses which we have deprioritized. As that money comes in, there will be a reduction in working capital because of that. But because this is a revenue growth year, I suggest the bifurcation of working capital interest be taken the way Srikanth has outlined it, as a certain percentage, the interest cost being a certain percentage of revenue. That's what we use in our model. And as revenue grows, working capital will go up. But there will be moderation in the current assets that we have, which are taking longer for us to liquidate as they are deprioritized from a BU perspective. We've been pretty disciplined in understanding how we can get this cash flow in. Over the next few quarters, you will see minus from that and plus from growth. So overall, we will maintain it at that 3.5% from an interest cost perspective.
Fair enough. Sir, if I remember last few quarters back, you said that there will be a multifold increase in the business that comes from the US side. So, do you see kind of green shoots over there? How is the market, if you can please elaborate on that? How do you see that in the next year, next financial year, or maybe next couple of years? Because if you can just please elaborate on that market as such.
So our base philosophy when we look at markets is we look at our addressable market and our market share and we use that to determine how much we can grow. So for our products in the US and services, we are currently at a 2 to 3% market share. So there's a lot of potential for us to grow. Consequently, we are adding a lot of capacity in the US in terms of manpower, sales presence, DMs and also production capacity. This will create over the next few quarters or the next few years, our US business is, we probably expect it to be our fastest growing business. And the margins there are obviously also a lot higher than our India business. So we intend to focus on US revenue and profitability in addition to our India businesses.
How much is the
Sorry
revenue?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mahesh.
I'll join you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rehan from Equity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I have a couple of questions related to the new plant. I wanted to understand what kind of ballpark peak revenue number you're expecting from the new capacity coming in the first half of this year.
We will see high double-digit growth. Are you talking referring to the pre-engineered building plant? Because we commissioned a new pre-engineered building plant, a boiler plant, and several expansions. So,
Not the PV.
I'm sorry. Could you say that again?
Not the PV plant. I'm talking about the boiler plant.
The boiler plant. Okay. The boiler plant will double revenue this year. We already have the order book to back that up, and revenue right now is already at a 20% higher rate than what it was for the average of last year. So we refer to it as boilers and process equipment now, and we are quite happy about the growth that's being, and the profitability margins there are higher than the average for the company. So it's good in two ways. One, it drives revenue, and two, it drives margin expansion.
What kind of margins do you get from that business segment?
Right now, it's not up to industry norms. It's profitable, but we are looking at the 5-7% on a PBT percentage rate. But if you look at our competitors in this business, typically PBTs tend to be around 10%. So our stated goal is to drive up to that over the next few years. But it obviously won't decline from where it is right now.
Understood. Second would be, since you know we're in multiple business segments and you're looking at the high growth opportunities, how does Pinar get or gain more market share? Like, what are the active measures in your businesses? Because they're so widespread, how do you gain market share? What are the processes that you use to gain market share?
So you can see this as a good thing or a bad thing, depending on perspective. But as I said, our base plan is there are five specific verticals we want to grow and grow aggressively. And in those five verticals, our market share is very, very low. I mean, there's nothing that crosses 10%, and most are, well, quite frankly, below 5%. So we need to focus on fewer businesses, and we need to reach scale and get out of the subscale performance in those. At the same time, we support the, shall we say, the deprioritized BUs and make sure that the revenue is held stable, that profit is held stable. We certainly don't want to see a year or two of declined revenue. So those will stay where they are. But these other high growth BUs, since the market share is low, if you build capacity and you get an order book, then it becomes mechanical. It would be hard for me to see our order backlogs go up and our capacity goes up in these businesses, whether it's pre-engineered buildings India, Ascent, pre-engineered buildings US, hydraulics, process equipment. It is very hard for me to see how our order backlogs can continue to grow as they are. Our capacity continues to grow and we don't see good growth and profitability increase. So that's the base model that we are using, and it's quite frankly worked very well for us. So I think low market share, so expanding that market share by expanding capacity is the way we're looking at those businesses.
Understood. So just wanted to understand, your focus on any form of government businesses is reducing, like railways, etc. So would that be beneficial to your non-fund-based limits in any format?
We do not undertake any government revenue. With the exception of railways, which is also frankly a PSU, direct to government is near 0% of our revenue stream right now. So the vast majority of what we do is private sector. PSUs probably comprise about 5% right now. So, but yes, we don't, just the railways business. There's no other government business. Yeah.
Okay. No, but because I wanted to understand how would Pinar be able to, you know, restructure the non-fund based limit in any way?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the question. Would Pinar be able to?
No, I wanted to understand how would Pinar be able to restructure their non-fund-based limits in any way?
Non-fund-based. non-fund-based limit. Non-fund-based, I'm sorry?
Non-fund-based limit.
Okay. So non-fund-based limits such as LCs and BGs are part and parcel of several of our project businesses. For pre-engineered buildings in India, there are advanced bank guarantees to be given, LCs for raw material, performance bank guarantees. We avoid CPBGs, but we are quite disciplined in the use of these, but there's, I can tell you that there's a lot of improvement that needs to be made, and we are making it. So we are working with a lot of external consultants, and there's obviously been substantial improvements. If you look at our working capital cycle, it used to be 90 days, 80 days. Now we are at 76 days. We're quite sure this year we get into low 70s in the over the next couple of quarters. So there's consistent improvements that can be made. But the dominant debt instrument we have, I mean, the vast majority of our debt is non-cash. So there is no getting around that, unfortunately. It's a design. It's not a bug. It's a feature. So we'll have to make our peace with that. But at the same time, make sure that we are very disciplined in terms of how we are, using this working capital limits, and make sure also that capital efficiency also remains high. Our ROCE right now is about 20%. This is the first time we've gone about 20%, and we are happy to note that from what we see, at least in the way forward, our ROCE will continue to increase further. Our return on equity also has crossed 10% for the first time, and even that will see consistent improvements.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venkata Subramania Raman from Organic Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Aditya. Congratulations on walking the path on the restructuring exercise, taking out from businesses that you don't want to focus much on. Now that we actually identified these five key verticals, focus verticals that we want to be on, can you possibly paint a larger picture in terms of, what we can see in terms of growth on each one of them over the next 2 years to 5 years, please? That'll be very useful.
So we do have undertaken a large transformation exercise over the last couple of quarters. We've detailed out for all of these five BUs growth plans for the next 5 years. We mapped out markets, mapped out the assets we need, and we're hard at work at the implementation phase. So I would not be able to give a guidance on what our revenue this year can be, but I have absolutely no hesitance in stating that we are extremely confident of continuous quarter-on-quarter revenue growth, profit growth, and capital efficiency improvements. So that, I think, is baked in fundamentally into our plan, and we will make sure that every quarter we only improve and we don't fall back on some of these things. Yes, there may be some amount of cyclicality inherent in from a quarter-to-quarter movement. I mean, Q1 for the US or our Q4 or the US Q1 tends to be a little muted for in the US, but taken as a whole, our growth plan with these five business verticals that we are prioritizing and that we are deploying capital into, the markets are so massive that each one of them can be larger than the current size of Pinar. So if you look at pre-engineered buildings, for example, the largest players in the U.S. and even the moderate players in the U.S. are $300-400 million, which exceeds the size of Pinar, entirety of Pinar right now. So that's one of our business verticals. Even PEB India itself, Kirby, to our knowledge, market knowledge indicates that there are 2,500 crores. For process equipment, the largest players are 6,000 crores and there are several 4,000-5,000 crore players. So growth will never be a challenge for us if we stick to these smaller verticals and build scale in them. I mean, we stick to these five verticals and build scale in them. I think the mistake we made historically is that we chased too many opportunities and we built subscale businesses. We did okay. We were profitable, but we were not able to generate sustained growth and in those business verticals. I think do less and do better in them is our current motto. So I can certainly say profit growth is something you can, and revenue and profit growth is something that we will deliver quarter on quarter.
Sure. Now, we all understand that, giving quarterly or, even yearly numbers can be a little difficult, but can you paint a picture for the next 3 to 5 years? When do you think we can, you had a larger vision of becoming $1 billion company, meaning when do you think we can get there?
So our our ambition at Pinar now is much higher than the $1 billion. I mean, that would be about 8,300 crores from a gross sales point of view defined, but let's take net sales. So net sales 3,000, we are not aiming at 8,000. We are looking at a substantially larger number than that. So we have a five-year plan to, shall we say, make most of our businesses the current size of the entirety of our business. So that should lead us to a number much higher than. So give us 5 years, and I think we will be able to exceed substantially that $1 billion number. I do not believe that will be a challenge.
That's very encouraging. On the TV side, the current growth, are you a little disappointed? Were there some challenges, and is this year panning out a little differently?
I think there's definitely a case to be made that there was lost opportunity on the PV side, but now there's good growth. Our goal is to be number two in India in the PEB space this year. I'm near certain we will achieve that. Our order books are strong with the new capacity that's coming online. It opens up the north market for us. So, as I said, revenue growth won't be an issue. That holds doubly true for our pre-engineered building business in India. I think I do not see any impediment to our ability to strongly grow this vertical. So what's in the past is in the past. But in this over the next few quarters, we will absolutely report strong growth in our pre-engineered building business.
Mr. Venkati, I request you to rejoin the queue.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I wanted to understand.
Madhur, sir, can you be quite loud?
Am I audible right now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I wanted to understand, when I look on the quarterly operating profit, they have declined from around 10% to 8% excluding the other income. So why is this? Because we are moving towards high margin business. So why is this the case?
I think the attribution of income to other... Sorry, are you done with your question?
Yes, sir. Please go.
Okay. I think your question effectively was a decline in, if you remove other income margins on that front. I think the attribution of it is something that we need to be watchful for. I would look at the entirety of the PBT margin, because that's what we map out. There's a lot captured in other income that's important. It concerns forex increases. It concerns also our other income and that's coming from our other investments. So overall picture is what is necessary in order for us to look at margin. But Srikanth, if you have more color on this.
Yeah. Overall gross profit margins have been at 37.8% versus 38.1%. If you compare standalone, there has been improvement in the margins by 150 basis points. Those are, again, as we have explained, from the new businesses. Subsidiary margins have been lower when compared to last year. This is because, again, as a percentage, the revenue per metric ton has gone down, and effectively their margins have gone down. So standalone businesses, there has been substantial improvement in terms of the margins. There is a decrease in subsidiary margins. And when you calculate either the individual margins or the subsidiary margins, do take into account all the relative costs of that, including the other income. Certain portion gets recorded there.
So to clarify that a little bit more, specifically in our US business, because of the raw material fall there, the margin there has been a decline by about
50 basis points.
A few basis points. But this is cyclicality. It is not indicative of any long-term movement. Markets in the U.S. are remarkably stable and large, so it's can be attributable to a quarterly movement. But overall, the picture is quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year, you will see operating margins move up, and that ultimately falls down to bottom line.
Okay. Sir, my next question would be, sir, just capital work in progress of 218 crores. Will be mostly towards our US and the boiler, the Ascent PEB and the boiler plant, right?
So we have commissioned and commissioning plants and plant expansions in Hyderabad, in Raibareli, in Tirchi, in also in France, but that is a small number. It's a few crores. And also in the US. So all of these are growth verticals. So we are deployed in that. And once we fully commission those capacities, obviously there's a dramatic impact on our revenue and profitability.
So what is the timeline to commission our the US PV building where we'll be doubling our capacity?
It will happen in this year. Unfortunately, one of the things in the US that we're watchful for is it takes a substantial amount of time for capacity improvements to be brought in. Especially even ancillary equipment such as transformers, the lead time tends to be about 18 months. Now, these are obviously investments we have made already, and I'm not saying it will take 18 months from now, but over the course of this financial year, you will see additional capacity strongly get commissioned in the US. But it is not Q1 or Q2.
Okay. So just a last question.
Mr. Rathi, I request you to answer.
I'm just clarifying on the previous question. So the 3.5% interest the finance cost as a percentage of revenue. So will this decline as the 142 crore working capital that has been stuck in the low margin business gets liquidated?
I think Srikanth has detailed this out. So effectively, you will see our overall interest cost and the overall debt for the company, you will see movement going in two directions. One, there will be a reduction as our stuck current assets. I won't call them stuck. I would call them
slow moving.
Slow, I guess. It's not. We have mapped it out and we are quite confident that they come in, but they'll come in over the next few months. As that comes in, our working capital will decrease. The vast majority of our debt, as I said, is working capital. But as revenue grows, working capital will continue to rise up after that. So if you are going to see revenue growth, you are going to see working capital increases. But the controlling factor for that is that our overall interest and, of course, our overall debt should be a function of our revenue in that case. So the number that we have mapped out, which makes sense for the industries we are present in, is about 3.5%. And we will be at that. I think Srikanth and I are both quite confident that we will meet and achieve that number this year.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just first up, just wanted to understand, you have mentioned about 5 to 7% of PBT margin and 10% which peers get in next few years, right? So do we have any timeline to it? I mean, this for the medium term, what sort of timeline we can look at for 7% PBT and 5% PAT margin?
So the last few calls, I think I had said that 5% would be achieved. I think we are at 4, for the last quarter, we were at 4.76%. So yeah, I think we've come from 1.5% to 4.76%. So I think in a very broad sense, margin expansion, we know exactly where it's going to come from. So 5% shouldn't take very long, obviously. But,
no, 5% PAT margin.
Sorry?
5% PAT margin that we have.
PAT margin, yeah. So for 5% PAT margin, now, here's where you have to be a little careful, because while India is easy to calculate, because 5% PAT margin effectively becomes a PBT margin of about 7%, 6.5%, 7%. In the US, it's a little different. US income tax is not just a federal income tax. It also depends on each state. Not indirect taxes. Direct taxes in the US vary from state to state. And as we increase our footprint in the US and go away from the South and we approach the Midwest and others, we're in fact doubling our addressable market in the US in this year. There will be a little bit of hysteresis. In the last year itself, if you look at our PBT versus PAT, our PAT would have been actually substantially higher, but our tax rate in the US went up from 22% to 25%. So that is another thing we have to watch out for. But broadly, it's not going to be much higher than that. But I think blended average, if you take also at 23-24%, and if you look at the US contributing going forward also around 30% of our revenue and profitability, I think it is okay for us to say that the PAT margin reaching 5% effectively means that we get to 6.5-7% in terms of PBT. And that should happen over the course of this year or next year. I think that we are quite confident.
FY25 or FY26?
100%.
Fair enough. And my second question revolves around your few minutes back you mentioned that our ambition is to grow on a quarter-on-quarter basis, both on the revenue front as well as on the profit growth. Now, this quarter, I think we had some other income which was one-off, right? A 16 crores kind of other income. So how should we look at, quarter-on-quarter we should adjust this other income, or on this reported number we are expecting quarter-on-quarter improvement in revenue and profit?
Look at both, please, because other income may or may not come in, but even with or without other income, our revenue has to grow. That's what we are mapping out.
And what about the profit?
The same, sir. In profit, I would say you take the net other income number, because we do price in foreign exchange fluctuations into our model. We do, have a certain investments which deliver, give some result. It's not an extremely material number, but when we map out our profit targets, we look at the bottom line, which we report to you. So I would suggest you take that.
So on the reported number, we are expecting quarter-on-quarter improvement, right?
Yes, correct, sir. Yes.
Okay. I think that would be it from my side. All the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Ajit Golecha from Growth Sphere Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations for fabulous numbers and walking the talk. But two questions. First question is, if you could give us clarity on the roadmap which PCG is preparing for you, where are we at current juncture? And if you could throw some light on what worked, if you could, the BCG is focusing on the strategy roadmap for Penna. Another thing, if you could give us a picture of what capex you have lined up for current year, next year, and after that. Because that will also help us to understand that what capacity expansion plan you have in place. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. It is true that we are working with BCG on on our growth, on our strategy, on our, it covers not just our growth, it also covers org structure, it covers our technology footprint. So it's a holistic exercise, and it is there are also others that we are working with on improvements. Specifically, a working capital is something that we get a lot of external help on in terms of how to revise our SOPs and everything. So it would be hard for me to pin down one aspect and say that we are working on this. But overall, the idea is strategic transformation, and so it's a very holistic exercise. We are happy with the work that's been done. I think from the narrative that I have provided, that we are going to focus on some businesses. We are going to grow those businesses. We are going to make sure that results in revenue and profit growth. And we are going to make sure that we are capital efficient and our capital efficiency numbers go up. On those metrics, broadly, is the deliverable that we expect from the work that we're doing with inside the company. My capex number for this financial year, I will have to come back to you, because there is work underway. As I've said, there's exercises we are conducting, and the appetite is there, and we are very ambitious, but we also have to temper that a little bit with risk management. So while we have an internal number, I'm not entirely comfortable sharing that with you right now. But by next quarter, we will have an exact number of exactly what our capacity expansion growth plans for this financial year and for next financial year will be, and we'll get you that clarity. But as of right now, I would not be able to give you a number.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush from SOIC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So what could be the peak revenue that we could generate from the current capital work in progress that we see on the balance sheet?
The peak revenue, assuming, I don't want to go to 100% capacity utilization, assuming 70-80% on an OE basis would probably indicate a number closer to, with our current asset base, would probably be about 5,000, is that what?
Yeah, 5,000
easily. Around 5,000 plus crores.
So basically 2,000 crores from the capital work in progress that we see on the balance sheet right now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Midhun from MJ Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah,
sir.
Please.
Thank you. Congrats on a good set of numbers. I just had a couple of questions. So, the CEB business, both in India and US, being one of our large businesses now, which is two out of the five which we are going to focus. So what would be the GTM of PEB business? What is the go-to-market strategy? How do you do it in India? And obviously, U.S. might be a little different. So can you throw some color about it?
Thank you. Yeah, so there are differences. Though the product and the design and the thing is more or less the same. It's a little more nuanced in the U.S. There are differences in the business model as well. But let me not try to overcomplicate. To answer your question, the gross margins for our pre-engineered building business in India, margin after variable is about 18%. The market leaders get 28-30%, so we are hard at work trying to get that up. In the US, we get a substantially larger number. It's closer to 30%. And it can go higher than that as well.
Yeah, thanks for that. But my question was more on the marketing side. So how is the go-to-market happening? In the sense, which channels do you sell through? Or do you directly go through contractors? So how does the sales happen on the engineered building field? Specifically on the US.
Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you said gross margin or GTM. But that's a very good question. It is completely different. It is the main difference between the US and Indian PEB models. In the US, the business is completely people-driven and it is dependent on what we call DMs. So you want to grow capacity in the, you want to grow your order book in the US, you have to add DMs. DMs specific to regions, DMs specific to certain large contractors. In India, PEB companies tend to be larger than most companies they service. In the US, the customers for metal building companies are much larger than the metal building companies. And even though the metal building companies themselves can be $400-500 million, even $1 billion plus. So in the US, it's driven by a people-driven, DM, sales-driven pipeline where you would effectively have to depend on them to pull volume in, and you even, quite frankly, have to make sure that you're structured in a way that you're constantly adding, training up your DMs, training up your the erection staff, erection people, that and the builders and the contractors. In India, it's different. It's driven by two revenue streams, either EPC or the fundamental, the owner of the building. So the process and industry effectively is the largest one. Warehousing, cement plants, steel plants, power plants, those tend to be fertilizer plant, those tend to be the majority or the vast majority of consumption of pre-engineered buildings. Completely different in the US where non-residential construction is a driver. So it's very different, the strategies we have in India and the US. India is driven by having sales teams which you have in-house and them catering to a large number of companies and there being a certain hit rate. And in the US it's more few number of DMs, them having their complementary relationships with GCs and then pulling that revenue in. The advantage is the US model is a little superior because you get a lot of reliability in your revenue and order backlog, and you don't need a very high order backlog to push revenue.
Okay. So you have substantial manpower deployed in US for this, or the DMs, how do you acquire the DMs? I mean, I'm still not able to understand that the concept. If you can elaborate a little bit more on that.
I won't name names, but we are constantly adding DMs. Our total manpower in the US right now is over 200 plus the thing.
Okay.
The factory staff is 169 plus DMs, everyone and others combined, engineering staff all combined, goes well over 200. But for us to grow, as I said, we are continually adding new DMs. So we are well staffed for our current revenue and operations, but we are adding a lot more DMs. We are, in fact, a good portion of our growth planning is choosing the right DMs. It's a very important. And our CEO in the US, Kimball, is someone who spent his life in the industry, and he's He's been single-handedly been responsible for building Cornerstone into a very large brand, into a very large business. So I'm sure that he will be able to grow Ascent as well.
Okay, and one follow-up on this. So this DMs would be on our roles or are they commission-based? How would the dynamics work in that scenario?
They are on our roles, but they also will be a commission percentage on orders booked. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
And into the gross margin. So that's all. That's priced into the gross margin, and it's an industry rate for it. And that's post that commission is what I mean. I said it's 30% plus. It's post that commission.
Sure. Thanks a lot, sir, and good luck for your future.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Thakur from 5G Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. Sir, we will have incremental revenue from the new CapEx as well as loss of revenue from discontinuing operations. Keeping both in mind, will we be able to achieve double-digit revenue growth for FY25 and FY26?
we will not give revenue, but broadly, yes, that's our goal, yes. We believe double-digit revenue growth is absolutely achievable. Double-digit profit is absolutely achievable. Considering the fact that we will be focusing on growing the five verticals and there will be revenue bleed in the other verticals.
Perfect, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dilip Kumar Sahu, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Aditya, my question was regarding the rejig in our portfolio. In the standalone business, we have grown substantially this quarter, sequentially. So is it to assume that, you know, we are done with all rejig of our portfolio and the base for the desirable good business is the current quarter and you can see expect, yeah, growth from here?
Not really, sir. We have a lot of work ahead of us. Right now, the prioritized BUs, in the standalone entity I'm talking about, the prioritized BUs are not, I think would be about 50-55% of our revenue. So there's a lot of work to be done for us to have them grow further as well, which is a good thing, which means that there's only more growth that is possible. But you should not take the last quarter as indicative of our revenue profile. I think there's still substantial revenue coming in from the deprioritized views.
Okay. So the profit profitability of the business is going to vary, like as we cut down more of these low end businesses, our profitability matrices will change as we grow, right? That's a right assumption to say?
Absolutely. I think the stated plan is as we add more revenue, we may lose some revenue in the deprioritized, but as we add more revenue, and we will be very careful with that, we're going to ensure no shocks in terms of revenue or anything like that. But effectively, think of this as revenue being added at a higher margin, so profit margin moves up. This is the path we've been on for many, many quarters now. So I think it's tried and true, and you will see more of the same.
Great. Coming to the U.S. business, for last 4-5 quarters, our business in U.S. has been around the 20 million plus or minus. And we have always been having a lot of order backlog. So what is that we are going to do to go to that, you were talking about $100-$150 million sooner. So how do we go to that $30-$35 million per quarter kind of a trajectory? Is it an internal roadblock or are we having some external constraint?
Not at all, sir. I think it's, as I mentioned, primarily, and Shrikant had alluded to this as well, there was a raw material price crash. These are temporary cyclicalities that happen. But overall, if you look at a tonnage point of view, we had a growth in our U.S. business of
well above 30%.
Yeah, so well above, good double-digit growth has been there on a tonnage production output point of view. These are cyclical things that happen. It's an election year. But from an overall capacity point of view, we are growing it quickly. And once the current cycle of raw material is done, and already, I think prices are already on the rise up, you will see revenue growth coming in. I don't believe we have a challenge. You mentioned 35 million per quarter, and I don't believe that is something that is very difficult for them to achieve. I think it's just a question of building capacity, increasing DMs, as I mentioned. We do both of those things, and the U.S. will take care of itself. I have absolutely no doubt on that.
Sure, sure. So in terms of competitive intensity or in terms of, you know, product range that we have, both are not a challenge for us because our product range is quite narrow compared to other, you know, large players that are there.
No, they are large players. I think where we perhaps maybe have a competitive disadvantage is that anyone who has multiple plants will be able to field larger projects because of lower cycle times. I mean, they can execute them quicker, so there's an obvious preference for them perhaps. But that's an advantage that goes away as our own production capacity scales. So not a permanent impediment, and quite frankly, for the orders that we're taking and for the market, addressable market we have right now, we are not at a disadvantage as far as competing with players. We do compete with and take orders from the new cores, from the cornerstones. They're all multi-billion dollar companies. And because we have a strong team and because we have strong design capabilities, I believe that we can actually convert it to a source of competitive advantage. Do bear in mind that we do a lot of work for Cornerstone. A lot of Cornerstone's design itself is done by Pennar in our engineering services business. So all of our competitors in the US are our customers. So it puts us in a position which is quite appealing, where we can ensure that we are able to keep adding DMs, keep adding capacity, and add revenue over the over the short and medium term.
Sure, sure. Great. Thank you, Aditya, for answering all my questions. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Gandhi from Astralis Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Is it possible for you to break up our sales number between focus segments and defocus segments? First question is that.
We don't have that attribution ready for you right now, but I understand why you're asking, and we will provide this from the next quarter. In fact, at the board level also, you've taken a call to provide this breakup. So we will do that from the next quarter.
Yeah. And just to clarify, you have said that we will have a good double-digit growth in the focus segment, while the revenue leakage from the defocus segment will stop from here, and we will have a BAU status from here onwards. That is what you said, right?
Not exactly, sir. I said overall we will grow revenue and profitability, including prioritized and deprioritized. And but yes, if our prioritized segment will have high growth, yes.
But the revenue leakage from defocus will continue, is what you are saying.
Yes, that is by nature what is going to happen, because if you're not deploying capital into those businesses, then, but over time and in a gradual, sedate manner, sir.
Understood. Next question is in terms of what is the size of our PET business in India?
Right now, our revenue base last year was about 780 crores, and this year will be much higher.
So 780 crores of revenue. So we have one times revenue as our order book currently in our hands. That is what you're saying, right?
I mean, for the 780 crores, our order book was much less. The order book we have right now for PEB will be gone in the, I mean, as in it's supposed to be executed in the next 5-6 months. Okay, 6 to 8 months. It's not, with a little bit of delays and others, it can trend to 8 months, but it's not meant to address the whole year.
Understood. And just the last question, what is typically the market opportunity size for the PEB business? Like, can you give some sense, like, how big is the opportunity size here?
Do you mean the addressable market in India?
Yes.
Breaks up into about 7,000 to 8,000 crores, sir, all over India.
7,000 to 8,000 crores, okay.
They have about 2,000, and there are 3-4 other players.
Understood. Understood. And this is the last clarification. You said the PAT PBT or the PAT margins, we should be comfortably doing around 7% in next couple of years. That's the PBT margin, right? 7%?
Yeah, I think we said a PAT margin of 5% and a PBT margin of reaching those numbers, 6.5-7% over the next 2 years, yes.
Understood. Understood. Thank you so much and all the best. Thanks.
Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comment. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate everyone's questions. We will continue to be on the path we're on and articulate our plans and execute them. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.